Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
This Bible is a big book, and there's a lot of stuff in here. A lot of commandments and stories and parables and apocalyptic stuff, proverbs. I mean, it goes on and on and on. This is a big, complex book. But this passage we're going to look at, these few verses that we're going to focus in on, summarize this whole book in just a few verses. This is it. This passage we're going to look at here in Mark 12, verses 28 through 34. This passage is so important that we're going to spend the next 8 weeks just in this passage right here. Because it seems to me that we've got to get these particulars right so that we can faithfully run this race of faith that we are called to live. Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer previously about the whole marriage thing, he asked them, "Of all the commandments, of everything that's written in this book, which is the most important?" "The most important one," Jesus answered. Jesus himself says, this is it. The most important thing I need you guys to get is this. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Let us pray. Father, Jesus tells us right here, this is the most important. I pray, God, that you will help us understand this passage. Live this passage. Because if this is the most important, it seems to me, Lord, that if we get this wrong, we get everything else wrong. Help us, Lord, to diligently wrap our hearts and minds and soul and spirit around these verses and to make them our life's ambition to live for you wholly and completely. And all God's people said, amen, amen. What if I told you that you have within you the capacity to become the world's greatest scientist? That if you studied hard enough and you diligently read and did everything you needed to do, that you have the capacity to become the world's greatest scientist, to begin to unravel the mysteries of science, maybe even solve the cure for diseases and cancer. What if I told you that you had within you the capacity to become the world's greatest scientist? Well, you might sit there and go, I don't know. I don't know about that. And the chances are, I don't know. I mean, some of you are pretty smart, but I don't know if in this room someone here has the capacity to be the world's greatest scientist. What if I told you someone in this room has within them to become the world's best athlete? actor, the greatest actress or actor this world has ever seen, that you could be on stage and mesmerize people with your incredible acting ability. What if I told you that? You might say to yourself, I don't know, I've always thought about it, but I don't know if I would take that next step. And truth be told, I don't know. I don't know if the next best actor in the world is sitting in this room. Could be, I don't know. What if I told you that you had the capacity to become the world's greatest musician? Other than Tim, of course. What if I told you that within you, you had the capacity, if you practiced hard enough and you worked hard, that you had the ability to mesmerize the world on the grandest of stages with incredible musical ability or vocal ability? I don't know. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. It could be hit or miss. Maybe the person who's the next greatest musician in the world is sitting right in this room. I don't know. What if I told you that you had within you the capacity to be the next greatest artist this world has ever seen? The next Da Vinci. What if I told you that if you really started working hard and practicing your craft and honing your craft, that you could be the next greatest artist this world has ever seen and woo the world over with your incredible artistic ability? Would you believe me? Well, maybe. Maybe. Maybe you have that potential within you. Maybe you don't. I don't know. It's hit or miss. Now, what if I told you this? What if I told you that what I'm about to tell you is a definite hit? No miss. What if I told you that you, yes, you, ordinary me, in this room right here today, what if I told you that you have within you the capacity to fully and completely love the God of the universe with everything that you've got? And as you tap into that capacity and live in that capacity to love God with everything that you've got, that in doing so, you find your ultimate purpose and destiny and fulfillment. What if I told you that? Would you believe me that you have the capacity to fully love the God of the universe? Well, you may be sitting there thinking to yourself, I don't know about that. You don't know me very well. Well, I want to say to you that is a definite hit. That you do have within you the capacity to fully love the God of the universe with everything you've got. And in doing so, you find the greatest fulfillment in life. How can I make such a claim? Well, the Bible teaches us that every single person on this planet, including yourself, is created in the image of God. And if God is love, as the Bible clearly teaches, then not only are you created in the image of God, you are created in the image of love. And if you're created in the image of divine love, then you do have the capacity to be in relationship, in a loving relationship with the God of the universe who created you in the image of divine love. Back in the 80s, Tina Turner sang her hit song, "What's Love Got to Do with It?" Now, I can try to sing it for you. You won't be impressed. You might get mad at me. What's love got to do with it, got to do with it? See, I shouldn't have even tried. I should not have even tried. It was great? Okay. What's love got to do with it? Well, love has everything to do with it, properly understood. Properly understood. I could ask each and every one of you, how would you define love? And I would get, I don't know, however many different answers. Because our culture gives us so many ideas and concepts of what love is. Love has everything to do with it, properly understood. In the New Testament, there are several Greek words for love. And we don't have time to go through all of them. That's a whole different study in and of itself. But there are many different words for love that help us understand the multifaceted component of love. And they're all fascinating to look at. In the Old Testament, there are various Hebrew words for love that help us understand how the ancient Israelites understood this concept of love. And that's a whole different study in and of itself. But love is multifaceted. But for our purposes this morning, I've narrowed it down to 7 words that can help us understand biblically what the Bible means when it tells us to love the Lord your God. What Jesus affirms in teaching us about what it means to love the Lord your God. To love the Lord our God involves, 1, our attention. Hear, O Israel. Pay attention. Give God your focus. We've got to be intentional about what we're going to do and how we're going to love and who we're going to love. To love the Lord our God is to give our attention. In a world where our attention is in a million different directions, and it is because we are here, we are there, we're looking there, we're looking there, we're thinking here, we're thinking there. To love the Lord our God is to give Him our full attention. To love the Lord our God involves our affection. Yes, there's emotions involved. We love Him because He created us in the image of divine love. We love Him because He first loved us. And so we give Him our affection, our emotions, our feelings, everything about who we are. To love the Lord our God involves our affiliation. We are declaring that we belong to Him. That no longer do we belong to the world. No longer do we belong to anything else. We belong exclusively to Him. So when we say we are going to love the Lord our God, it involves giving Him our affiliation. Our adoration. That's what we did this morning. We sang songs, great songs that brought me to tears this morning. We sang amazing songs today of our adoration to Him. Why? Because He is worthy. He deserves our adoration. He is the God, the loving God of the universe, who created you in the image of love. When Jesus says to love the Lord your God, He deserves all of our adoration. He deserves our allegiance. We are committed to Him. We lock arms with God. We are in covenant relationship with God. And so when we say, God, I love you, we are aligning ourselves to His purposes as He leads and He directs. We are associating ourselves with Him, not just privately, but publicly, in a public church service. As Christians, we are saying, I associate myself publicly with God. The Apostle Paul talks about not being ashamed of the gospel. And so when we say, I love the Lord with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, I am publicly and privately associating myself to the God of the Bible. Finally, all of our ambition. When we say we are loving God, we're saying, I give Him all my ambitions. I set aside what I want for what He wants. Now, Jesus here in this passage in Mark is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is called the Shema. This goes all the way back to the ancient Israelites. The Jews back then, and observant Jews even today, would recite the Shema. Shema is the Hebrew word, basically means hear. Hear, O Israel. We're listening. We're paying attention. We're giving God our attention. Hear, O Israel. And observant Jews would recite these verses twice a day, once in the morning and once at night. And what Jesus was doing was drawing our attention all the way back to Deuteronomy, to the Hebrew Shema. And so what I'd like for us to do is stand and let's recite the Shema. So stand with me and let's recite it twice, since we're going to be observant Christians today, all right? Recite the Shema with me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Let's do it one more time. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. You may be seated. I would gently challenge you, do this again tomorrow. When you get up in the morning, first thing in the morning, recite the Shema. Before you go to bed at night, recite the Shema. Why do we do this? Number one, it reminds us that the Lord is one. Now back then, unlike today, they lived in a polytheistic world, many gods. And so the issue back then was, which God are we going to worship, you know? Which God is greater? And Yahweh, the Lord, was saying to the people, forget all these other gods that you've made by your hands and you've crafted in your minds. I am the one true God. Today, the problem is people don't want to believe in any God. And so this reminder for us today is that there is indeed a God. And He deserves our allegiance and our devotion. But also, when we say to ourselves, we remind ourselves, we confess our love to God, it sets our path on the direction that we need to go. If I recite this first thing in the morning, it just changes my perspective that everything I need to do today, or everything I'm going to do today, must be in accord with loving the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and strength. It's a beautiful way to live our lives. You have the capacity within you to love God with everything you've got and to be intentional about living this beautiful life of love with your Creator. But my question this morning is, what keeps us from doing this? What keeps us from loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength? Because it seems to me if we're going to run this race of faith effectively, and if we're going to make it to the finish line, we've got to get this right. What keeps us from running this race of faith effectively? The Gospel of Mark is a great gospel, but Mark is not all that lovey-dovey. John's gospel is pretty lovey-dovey. There's love everywhere. You know, Jesus talking about love and this and that. Mark doesn't talk about love all that often, really just a handful of times. But the times that we read about love in Mark are very intentional. And I want to show you what I believe Mark did intentionally that shows us what keeps us from fully loving God with everything that we are. Turn just a few chapters back to Mark chapter 10. I want you to look at this passage. We looked at it several weeks ago, but I want to point out something else to you, because this is important. We need to get this. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 17. I'm going to read this passage to you again, but I want to give you this disclaimer. I'm going to come to a verse here that's going to make probably most of us very uncomfortable. I'm just going to give you this disclaimer right up front. I'm going to read some words here that are going to make most of us, if not all of us, very uncomfortable. Here we go. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 18 of Mark chapter 10. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Verse 20. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Verse 21, and this is what I want you to pay attention to. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus looked at him and loved him. We're going to come back to this. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Contrast that last verse that I just read to you to what we just read in verse 34 of Mark chapter 12. You are not far from the kingdom of God. You are not far from the kingdom of God, but then he says to this rich young man, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Here's why it's so hard for us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, because we have a hard time receiving the love of God. Look at verse 21 of Mark 10 again. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus looked at this young man and loved him. Not for anything he said, not for anything he did, certainly not for his wealth. This moment here in the scriptures that must have been awkward for this young man, Jesus just looked at him and loved him simply because this young man was created in the image of divine love. He was a child of God, and Jesus loved him simply for being the unique individual that he was. And how hard must it have been for this young man to have Jesus just staring at him and receiving love? It was difficult for him. And I want to say, I think it's difficult for most of us. We don't understand the depth of love that God has for us simply just by being you. Because our culture says we are loved if you do this, if you have that, if you go there, if you do this for me, if you say that. That's how we think of love. I'll love you because you do this for me. And the scriptures teach God loves us simply because we are created in the image of divine love. Jesus was not impressed with this man's wealth. Jesus was not impressed with his status. Jesus wasn't impressed with any of that. He simply loved him for who he was. It's amazing, this last week, how many celebrities have died and made the national news. They affect us in different ways because we put people on a pedestal for what they do or who they are. It's been interesting to watch the news and see the coverage of all these famous rich people who have died. But I can guarantee that when we all die and stand before God, God is not impressed with status, accolades, money, wealth. We are all on the same footing when it comes to God. And as a church, we are trying really hard not to be impressed by anyone's status or wealth or influence. I've had people in the past want special treatment because they had a lot of money. And my response to them was, not here. It doesn't matter your accolades. It doesn't matter how much you own. It doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been or who you know. None of that matters. I found out this last week, and I'm not going to name any names, but we have someone in our church who has won a Grammy. A Grammy. I don't know of very many people who know people who have actually won a Grammy. We have someone who worships in our church who has a Grammy, and they're pretty humble about it. They're not going to make a big deal about it, and they're not here today because they're off doing music stuff. I also found out this week that we have someone in our church who's won an Emmy. An Emmy! That's pretty impressive. Those are very impressive accomplishments. And we should celebrate that. But God's not impressed with what we've done, or how much we have in the bank, or what we drive. God simply loves you because you are created in the image of divine love. I'm going to challenge you to do an exercise, and this exercise is going to stretch you. For the rest of the day and all day tomorrow and for the rest of the week, I want you to become aware of God's gaze of love upon you. Not for what you do, not for what you own, not for any accomplishment, but simply because you are created in the image of divine love, and Jesus is staring at you and loving you. And it's hard for us to receive divine love. You say, you don't know the thoughts in my head. You don't know what I've done. You don't know all these things inside of me? Guess what? Jesus knows, and he still loves you. What keeps us from fully loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength is because of our inability to receive his love. You know, we sing that kids' Sunday school song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But we kind of skip over the main part. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Let him love you. Let him fill you with his love. Sit in silence and let Jesus gaze upon you and stare at you and look at you and revel in you and celebrate you simply because you are you and there's no one else on this planet like you. Let Jesus love you. Let his love envelop you. Receive his love. However unworthy you feel, receive his love. Let Jesus love you. And what begins to happen is that love then is reciprocated. And you'll be able to turn around and love him in return with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's a beautiful relationship we have with the God of the universe. Receive his love and give his love back to him. Jesus said the most important thing we can be doing with our lives is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. But it has to begin with us receiving his divine love, being filled with his love, because we cannot give of love if we are not filled with love. Let him love you right where you're at. Become aware of God's gaze of love upon you.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.